is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you this November 2nd, 2019. We have rolled over into a new month. And good morning, Brother Tim from Nebraska. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Amen. And good morning, Brother Jonathan from down there in cold Colorado now. It's as cold there as it is here. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, 18 down in Loveland. We're a balmy 20 here in Laramie. It is, I think, the shape of things to come, being that we're just about in the middle of fall. But it, if this continues, it looks like it'll be a cold and a snowy winter. But that's what winters are supposed to be like. So, Tim, like you mentioned earlier, a challenge, just a new opportunity. And so we're thankful for that. We thank you, the Remnant, for joining us. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our coffee, we've got our Bibles, and we'll have the phone lines open here in a little bit. So if you have a question or comment, we'd be glad to take your call. But John, we're going to look to you to open us up in prayer first, sir.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that you set aside on Saturday mornings for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Lord, we ask for your direction, your wisdom, your understanding and discernment regarding what it is that's important for your people, the remnant, the true followers of Jesus Christ, the Jedi, Jesus' disciples, those that will not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus, those, the people that are called by your name who have humbled themselves, pray and seek your face and have turned from their wicked ways. Father, who believe the promise that when we are obedient, you will punish the disobedience of those that hate you and hate your people. Father, we know we can't get to that place where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength without asking that we would hear you, the Lord. We're asking that we would be obedient when we do. Just pray, Father, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, as the heathens rage, those that hate you and hate your people, we can see the answer to the prayers that we pray consistently. And Father, we thank you that you are a God that hears the cries of your people, just as your word says over and over in the Old Testament. And when we come to that place where we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, where we put aside our own selfish wills, wants, and desires, then you will punish those that hate you and hate your people. So, Lord, we come in submission to you this morning to share whatever it is that you want shared. Father, we thank you that the things that were done in the dark are being brought to the light, even those things that were done 50 years ago. Father, that you have sent confusion into the camp of the enemy, and day by day they turn on one another like rats scurrying from the deck of a ship that's going down. And Father, we start to see righteous justice. And we know that that's an answer to the last prayer that we, your people, have come together in agreement to bring before your mighty throne, Father. We ask for continued righteous judgment, not man's judgment, but God's judgment regarding all of these things that have taken place, those things that the wicked ones that the Bible talks about have perpetrated on your people for so many years now that it's become almost routine. And Father, we know that if you could sum it up in just a few words, there are those out there, many, that no longer fear God. They no longer fear the one that once he's killed them can send them to hell. They fear man more than God. Lord, I ask for those that can come to repentance, those that may be lost, those that may have believed a lie, those that have been deceived. Father, bring those that can to repentance, that they'd fall upon their face, Father, that you would remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears so they could hear and see the truth, that they would ask you forgiveness, Father. And your word is clear that whatever we confess and ask for forgiveness as far as the east is from the west, you will forgive us. Father, grant us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment regarding the things that are taking place. Your word says in the last days knowledge would increase, and we ask that you would continue to grant us that blessing, Father, that our knowledge would increase of the things that are going on around us, that you would continue to reveal the things in your holy word, the Bible, that are hidden until the proper time. Father, I pray for your people, the remnant, those that love you and contrary to man's belief and man's teaching, hate evil, Father. Lord, we just pray for grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you'd find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. And it's in the name above all other names we pray these things, believing that they shall be done. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Got a, you know, had Halloween this past week, and thank God it's over. Glad to be through it. We certainly prayed against it, and but got a text from a neighbor that works a couple days a week. Young couple wanting to build a house down the road, and they've got a little boy, and we babysat the boy before, and she sent a text out, and it was a laugh. She said, "Can you tell we don't do Halloween?" And it's a picture of her son and about, I think, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other little children that are at this afternoon daycare, a little part-time thing. And the other children, yeah, they're dinosaurs and Mr. Incredible and Spider-Man and all that. And here's little Ethan in his brown pants and his little striped shirt, just dressed for the day. And I just thought that it was encouraging that, you know, there are people that have nothing to do with our ministry, but they know. They've heard the call of God. They know that these things are wrong, and they don't participate in it. And I sent her and her husband the text that, you know, the Bible says, "Come out of her, my people." And she sent back question marks. What? And so it gave me an opportunity just to, you know, say, hey, this is, the Bible tells us we're to be of the world or in the world, but not to be of the world. And that we're told time and time again to come out of her, to come out of this Babylon that is our society today. And so it is encouraging. You know, there were local churches around and places that had, you know, alternatives and safe places to go. And so, it was encouraging to me. I'd like to start with a scripture this morning, a couple verses out of Psalms 94, because I think that it talks about that judgment and that righteousness. And we're seeing, John, you've mentioned it. We haven't seen the evil ones been locked up in jail yet. We haven't seen, because that's man's judgment. And I don't know if we're going to see man's judgment come upon them. I hope that we do as this comes forth. But I know that God's judgment will be upon them. A couple verses here. Psalms 94, starting in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, that you may grant him relief from the days of adversity until a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment will again be righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wickedness?" And I think that that's part of what we're seeing. We are seeing that people are being taught out of his law, that they are returning to his word, as it says here. And it says that a pit will be dug for the wicked. That is their reward. That is their recompense that is coming. And that God has not abandoned his people. It's interesting, Brother John, when you talk to people about this president and you say, you know, we share with them that, hey, we've been granted a reprieve from God. That is what our president is. He is a reprieve. He is a pointing out from God that he hasn't forgotten his people, and that he's giving us an opportunity to return to him, to return to God, to return to the Jesus of the Bible. And I like in verse 15 here, it says, "For judgment will again be righteous." Because the judgments of the last 50 to 70 years in this country have not been righteous. It's the righteous that have been judged against. But it will not continue that way. It will not.
Yeah, you know, I was encouraged this week as we fasted and prayed against the 3,000 plus proclaimed witches and warlocks that were praying against the president and those that support him, as well as others that fasted and prayed over the time of the Satan's high holy day. Numbers 22, in Numbers chapter 22, when Balak tried to hire Balaam to curse the people of God, Israel. And he was willing to pay what was an equivalent of millions of dollars in today's money. And Balaam said, "I can't curse whom God has blessed." And he was known throughout the country that if you wanted someone cursed, that you'd get a hold of Balaam to put a hex on them and they would be cursed. But Balaam said, "I've tried, but this time I've run across something here that I can't deal with. These are God's people,
and he's blessed them, and I can't override that. I can't reverse that. I
Amen.
Can't change that. Numbers 23:8. Scripture says, like a fluttering sparrow or darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. Proverbs 26:2. And the curse causeless shall not come, but it will return to the place where it came from. Psalms 109:17. So if someone says that they're going to curse Trump or those that support him, or more importantly, those that are the followers of Jesus Christ, they better make it their hat size, because it's coming right back on their heads. It's going to be like a boomerang right back on them.
Amen.
Like King Cyrus said in Isaiah 44:45. But why? Because the Word of God says that you cannot curse anyone whom God has blessed. And for those who try to curse those God has blessed, which of course is true Israel, and for any person who's born again of the water and the Spirit by going into that watery grave of baptism, then those people are clueless about the Word of God, because any curse that they try to place upon us will come back on them tenfold. And Father, we claim that promise in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Absolutely.
You cannot curse what God has blessed.
No, he just turns it into a blessing for that person. You know, all things work together, and it's like, and we've seen it. We've seen it happen. You know, I mean, bear witness. I couldn't help but think while you were doing that, as far as that goes, you know, that's our job, is to bear witness. I mean, we're to stand and we're to bear witness. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaim the excellencies of him. I mean, that's one of those jobs that's on our list. Pray, proclaim, you know, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's procure. And stand in the gap, you know, I mean, and cry out. So it's just, it's amazing when you look at those things and see that. It's like, can't touch this, you know. You guys, you're dealing with God, not me. I love the way our pastor used to say, when he would say something controversial at the time, he'd say, I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. Pick it up with God, you know. And praise the Lord for that. What a proclamation.
Yeah, or I didn't write it. Yep.
Yeah, so I didn't write it. It always made me smile. I mean, and it empowered me. And it really did. I mean, when you look back at it, it's like, well, that's, you know, right. Oh, so that's what you
yeah.
think. No, that's what God thinks. And I think, I want to think what God thinks, you know.
Amen so. To that. Amen.
One
to
of
that.
The most powerful messages he did, and that's saying a lot, because you think of the powerful messages that he did, and maybe I can't even classify that, but one of them that was probably one of the best illustrations that I can remember was the time he took an old book and he put it inside the cover of a Bible, and he was up behind the pulpit and basically reading like he was reading scripture, the scriptures that the Judeo-Christian church no longer read, the scriptures that are not politically correct, the scriptures that are not accepted and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace. And then he would read the scripture, like in Leviticus, you know, man shall not lay with the man, and
yep.
things like that, and things that were controversial. And then he'd say, oh, well, we don't like that one. Let's just rip it out, you know. So he ripped a page out, and he crumpled it up, threw it away. And he'd go to the next one, and he ripped
yeah.
the page out, and he crumpled it up, threw it away. And, man, the response he got from the people that were outraged and incensed, that how dare you tear up the Bible. And he goes, the next week, you know, he brought up the book that he tore the pages out. He goes, you really think I would tear the pages out of the Bible, you know? But you think of the illustration, because that's really what most of the Judeo-Christian churches have done. In fact, a lot of them don't even use the Old Testament anymore. They say it's irrelevant.
Yeah, that was the puke bucket sermon. I mean, nasty bucket, that's what he called it. You know, you guys make me want to puke. You just take those sections of the Bible, and because you don't like them, if you spend as much time understanding how they work together for the good of the kingdom and for the good of the people who serve the Lord as you did hating on them, your time would be much better spent that way. It was an epic sermon with a lot of power.
Absolutely. Well, you think about it today, now they'd probably just throw the whole Bible out.
They basically do. Yes. Yeah.
They do. You'll see that they just preach what they want to. And you know, you've seen lately the enemy saw, you know, this queer faggot going to burn in hell if he doesn't repent, Mayor Pete Buttigieg or whatever down there in Texas, quoting scripture a week or two ago. And the Bible says, my word has no place in the mouth of the filthy, in the mouth of the rebellious. My word has no place. And see, there's no power in, you know, when the enemies of God try to quote scripture. It was like Simon the sorcerer trying to buy salvation, trying to buy this power of the Holy Spirit. It does not work that way in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The righteous. It is God's word for His people. Galatians 1, verse 6, it talks about a different gospel. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And that is what has happened. Because the people do not spend time in their Bible, because they are so bound under Satan's yoke, so busy, and there's so much that they do, have to do, they think, it's what they choose to do, that they don't read the Word, that they are drawn to these, you know, this church of what's happening now. And the sinners, they push and promote this different gospel. There was an article here in the local paper a month or so ago by some Lutheran pastor up here that took probably 2,000 words in his article to say that, he's done research in Greek, and the Bible doesn't talk about homosexuality and doesn't come against that. Because the people can't tell the counterfeit from the real, because they don't go read the real, they are taken in by that. John, you started out with Balak and Balaam, that no, the people cannot be cursed. As God's people, we cannot be cursed, but we can be caused to sin. And our enemy understands that if they can cause us to sin, that God Himself will bring His punishment on. And that is where we're at, because the people don't read in the Bible. If the people would read in the Bible there in Corinthians, people that practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what that means, folks, is you will not make it to heaven, if that's the language you want to use there in 2 Corinthians. That, you know, do not be deceived, it says. You know, that you cannot sin and get by. It doesn't matter what and who you are. It applies to all. 2 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. That was another great sermon our pastor did, was, you know, coming against the two parties involved in the sin of deception. The deceiver, those Judeo-Christians that say, oh yeah, you can be a homosexual and God still loves you, and you can still make it into heaven, and you can come and worship with us at church and everything, and you know, you can do all these things. The Bible says, do not be deceived. And so you have those deceivers that are coming against God, but if we're deceived. We're told, do not be deceived. So if we're deceived, it's shame on us. And so I remember the pastor, you know, he put that out, and he prayed that for years. Lord, forgive me for being deceived. And unfortunately, or fortunately, that's what many of our people need to pray, is that they have been deceived by that smooth talking. You know, how many times have we heard, oh, that preacher I heard on Sunday, he makes me feel so good. He just, oh, he spoke to my heart of hearts and blah, blah. It was all feelings. All feelings. No spirit, no truth. Not the true spirit. But it's all just feelings that come out because they have gone to a different gospel. And for the most part, you know, if you are a Judeo-Christian, you have been deceived. How about that? If you have friends that are Judeo-Christians, they have been deceived. They are following a different gospel, like Galatians 1 talks about. It distorts the gospel, Judeo-Christianity does. It is not Christianity. Guys, we got the phone ringing. Let's try a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Rich and fellas. You know, you can scan the airwaves of so-called conservative talk radio today, and it's all about defending Donald Trump. But the war on Donald Trump is a diversion, people. The real war is on the white race. We who are Christian identity, we should be nationalists, not conservative. A conservative wants to, by and large, conserve the status quo, and basically the status quo is liberalism. Even modern evangelical churches or Judeo-Christian churches, they have pretty much, you know, taken up Unitarian or Universalist belief systems.
They have.
They have not only, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, they have. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And get this, they're not only Judaized, but they also Negroized also. There's a mainstream church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, called Bethany Church, which is about, you know, 10 miles from where I live. They're having Kanye West do a service at their church this weekend. Now, here's the same guy who made a video where white females should be sex slaves for blacks, and he holds up a head of a decapitated white female in his video. I think the producer of that video was a Jew, but nevertheless, it's pretty common that blacks and Jews who are integrationists are pretty much on the same side. And it's not just the Jew that controls our society. You got the white liberals that, those cursed figs of Judah that Jeremiah 24 talks about. And, of course, you got these goats, these leftist Jews. They're not liberals. They're leftists. And they're controlling society also.
You know, you bring up a good point that they are. And when we and all this is a result of rebellion. I think it can be lumped in, rebellion to God. And this is what happens. If you go back and read Deuteronomy 28, I don't know if that's where you were going, John, but it is right there. When we turn from God, when we forget about God, these are the things that come upon us. Ken, thanks so much for the call, brother. Have a blessed day. It is that way.
The other thing, though, is you've got to remember, too, they're painting Trump as the leader of the white supremacist movement, too, right? So they're attacking the white race through Trump as well. Because when they tell the truth, and it's not very often, the demon rats, they'll tell you that they're worried about Trump reinstating white, Christian, Bible-belt America. That's the biggest thing that they're afraid of, is the restoration of the things that the abomination tore down over the 8 years.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right.
It's kind of interesting.
But it's baby steps, too. You know, we have to take baby steps, too, with regards to regaining the country. You know, if you want to try to win some of these Judeo-Christians, which I do, I want God to remove the scales from their eyes and them to see the truth.
Absolutely.
I want them to fall upon their face and cry out for being deceived, just like you talked about. It's just as much of a sin to be deceived as it is to be the deceiver.
So the bottom line is, if we were to come out and just pound it in their head about Christian Israel, then we would lose the majority of them. That's the thing that we need to be cognizant about, is there's so many people that have been brainwashed, that have believed the lie, that have been deceived, that we just, in my opinion, the first and foremost thing that we need to be proclaiming is repentance, baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ through immersion, and then when they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, their eyes will be opened and we'll have a chance of reaching them with the truth, the Israel truth.
Right. Absolutely. You can't...
There's an echo in here. I don't know what's going on.
You can't cram that down anybody's throat. When they get to the... If people get to the point that they are looking, they are searching, and you're, I think you're right, John. If they will repent properly and be baptized properly, then the Bible says they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that leads them in all truth. That will lead them to search for truth, and then they will see that truth of who we are. It is a fact that it is a battle against and a war against white Christian America. There's no doubt about that. But so many people don't see that. They don't. Tim, you had something.
Yeah, I was just gonna. It was kind of an interesting thing because it is a progressive thing. I mean, our Christian walk is constantly progressive. If you think about it, you're called, you're chosen, you're redeemed, and then it says, and the verse escapes me at the moment, but and all these things will be added to you. And addition's a funny thing. It's a plus. It goes on, you know. And the Bible, I think, the added to you are. It's a Matthew 6:33 is what I was thinking about. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We begin to seek the kingdom. We begin to, and we grow. The corporate model today in America, probably even in the whole world, but is they have this model of continuous growth in sales, in income for their stockholders and everything else, and it's erroneous. It's impossible. Sooner or later, you either run out of resources or you run out of customers, or, you know, at some point you'll hit market saturation. Not so in God's way. In God's kingdom, though, the growth is eternal and inevitable. He says, you know, if you're one of my sons, I chasten you, I teach you, you grow. I mean, those things continue daily, and as we come to that knowledge, we continue. When you figure out one aspect, there's another step. There's another. You're never done. It's you're never dead-ended. You can go anywhere as far in the kingdom of God as you want, because it's an open-ended thing. Our God is eternal, all-powerful, and that's a great, great thing. But there are times. And that was what I was going to say when Ken said that. I was like, well, I agree with what he's saying, and I do, but, going from liberal to conservatism is a good start.
Yes.
Figuring out that the God of the Bible is all-powerful is a good start.
Amen. Amen. This couple that I was speaking to of earlier, that don't do, they have one child, he's about 3 years old, and they don't do Halloween. Do you know what a huge step that is? I've got, I don't know how many so-called Christian friends here in town that call themselves Christians, and, they all dressed up, and they all did everything they could for Halloween and stuff, and I've mentioned things to them before, haven't damned them to hell. But I've mentioned things to them before, and it's, they're going to be like everybody else. But when you have the people that step away from these things, from these godly, when they remember our Lord and Savior and what these things are truly about, it's a step in the right direction. And like you said, Tim, I think it is. It's better. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Zach from Michigan. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning, Zach. We are...
Hey, Zach. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good. I'm good. Well, I just like to make a comment on what you guys were talking about earlier about getting people baptized and then, like, leading them to the Israel truth. And the way I see it, and this is obviously open for debate, is the narrative, the Judeo-Christian narrative that is pumped out in everybody's mind is the biggest thing that we have to overcome. And as you guys know, I try to be a preacher or whatever you want to call it, but I have my missionary work that I do, and I've literally sat there and went through with the congregation the entire Abrahamic covenant, and I call it the three-part covenant. And you know, everybody knows Genesis 12, everybody knows Genesis 15, everybody knows Genesis 17. At least most of the people that I'm talking to now, they understand that three-part covenant. And the thing that I noticed when I got through with that covenant, and I asked them, I'm like, have you guys amended your thoughts on your view on the covenant that God gave with Abraham, the three-part? And the response that I got back was, no, we have learned nothing new. And these people are baptized believers. They believe in Acts 2:38, and that narrative that is ingrained so deeply in their head, literally, in my view, has blinded them. And that's the narrative has to change. It's a false narrative, and that is, and until you change that narrative and have it be a positive narrative in the minds of the people, I don't believe you're going to go anywhere. Because like John said earlier, how did he say that? If you believe a lie, you are just as guilty as the one that deceived it. And then you're still held accountable to God. And if you believe a lie, you're taken captive. And had you known the truth, you wouldn't have taken the position that you really, that you took. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Did I lose you guys?
No, it's a perfect illustration, Zach, in real life. And, you know, I learned that too. Easiest illustration is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, Pastor Peters used to say that all the time. And that's the truth. You
yes.
can try to shove something down somebody's throat, but unless they're called, unless they are prepped, you know, the preparation is first confessing that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and your Lord and Savior, the Son of God, which we make people publicly profess before we baptize them. But until you go into that watery grave and you're willing to die to your old life and run from sin, not towards sin, granted we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God, but the bottom line is until you're willing to make that sacrifice and be obedient, it's all about the obedience, right? Without that obedience, once you understand that we need to be obedient, without following that obedience, then I don't think God can use you in the way he wants to use you.
Absolutely. You know, I was reminded of the story Pastor taught and told of years and years ago when he first became a Christian and got baptized. They got baptized at midnight, him and his wife. And he was a welder working in a welding shop. And you know, it had come out that he was a Christian and had been baptized. And there was an old, I think as Smokey maybe, was the old guys, crusty old guys, you know, that worked in the shop. And he said, well, Pete, maybe I'll just have you baptize me. And he said, well, Smokey, you would just be wet. And because that's all it is, without, like you said, John, without repentance, without desiring to to know about God. And when we're deceived, again, I think that's why that was so powerful and such an important thing, is a prayer for us to do, is, Lord, forgive me for being deceived. When you read through the Bible, the times of repentance in Nehemiah's day, in Ezra's day, those that repented in Jeremiah's day,
exactly where I was going,
were that way. They were that way. That's what they had to do. They were deceived. They thought what they were doing was fine. When they had foreign wives, they thought that was okay. When they were charging their brother interest, they thought that was okay. But until they realized that, nothing could change.
In Ezra and Nehemiah, I was just going there exactly the same place, but there was steps to the restoration of Israel. We have to understand that for generations, we have fallen asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel. We are the reason that the things have got as bad as they have. And now that we've awakened and have started to realize, you know, our pastor taught us about spiritual warfare, we don't understand that most of these Christian churches don't understand spiritual warfare. They don't even understand there is such a thing as spiritual warfare.
Right.
Why? Because they don't read their Bibles. Because they believe whatever the preacher or pastor behind the pulpit is telling them.
That's right.
But there's steps to restoration. And if you read Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll see that the last step was when they cleaned up the races.
Yes.
And if you try to take that restoration to Israel out of the order that God has shown us in the Bible, all we do is cause more to fall away and more to go towards the side of the enemy, in my opinion.
Right. I know. I agree with you. And isn't it encouraging to see the things, and I'll turn it over back over to you, Zach, that you were doing, Zach, that people like you were doing across this country, because you're not the only one, you know? But you know, like you said, your missionary work. And that's what it is. And it is so encouraging, the seeds that are being planted. You know, many times we want to go out and present a truth that we have and then have this mighty tree here. No, we plant seeds like acorns that you know, take time to grow, that take time to be nourished and to grow. But it's encouraging that this is happening. Zach?
Well, one other thing I would like to add. When I came to the knowledge of the truth and the Israel truth through Pastor Peters, it was through the reason that I was open to it. There was two reasons. I talked to my old pastor, and I told him, I'm not going to take your word for it. I'm going to find out for myself. And it was because of a family tragedy that moved me. I knew the church leadership's reaction to what had happened to my family, their reaction, I knew they were full of beans. And it was because of tragedy that I was open to the truth, and it was because of my studying that I knew Pastor Peters was not lying to me. And
amen.
I actually think that everyone's like, the wrath of God, you know, that's a horrible thing, and it is a dreadful thing, but it just might take tragedy in order to get people to realize that their preachers and their pastors are leading them astray. And because that's a really good catalyst to get you to study. That's my opinion. And I'll end with that, and I'll turn it back over to you guys. So with that.
Yeah, you know, this invasion isn't by accident. Like Pastor Peters would tell us, and it's profound if you think about it. And when you mention it to people, they kind of scratch their head, and it gets them to thinking. But the enemy of God and his people know the Bible better than we do. And why do you think they're flooding this country with heathens? Because the Bible, or the Constitution, is only for a Bible reading people. Right?
Yes.
And they understand that. They understand the laws and the rules of God better than his people. But, you know, we are the ones that let it get this bad. And let's face it, you can say whatever you want about Trump. I've said it a million times, he's not a saint, he's a warrior. God's put him in a position for a specific reason. And the things that he is doing is basically reversing all of the things that the abomination has done. But you can't just shut the water off from a dam, you know, you can't just shut the water off instantly, or the pressure that's built up behind it will blow out the dam.
That's right.
It's the same thing with the things that have been done to our people. Let's face it, these things have been done to us for 50 years, maybe 100 years. And the awakening, you know, what we have to be praying for is a restoration and restoral of true JERUSALEM. And that only comes through prayer and repentance and the steps of restoration, just like it was in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think the deception, we talk about being deceived and praying, asking for forgiveness for being deceived. And a lot of times we say that, you know, one of the greatest deceptions or the greatest tricks that Satan pulled off was making sure that people didn't believe in him. But another one of those very, very top of the list deceptions is the one that's spewed out there about the Jews being God's chosen people. Yeah, you know, when time and time again it's been proven that the Israelites in the Bible aren't the Jews of modern days, and they have all these things built into that whole thought process that stop people from even thinking about that. You know, if you start saying, "Well, are they?" You know, it's like, "Well, you're a hater. You're
right.
You know, anti-Semite. You're and it's like this, and it's been built into our children since the earliest recollection from church, school, and all of these things. So that's another one of those deceptions. And when we begin to ask to be forgiven for being deceived, then our eyes can be opened to the truth of seeking the kingdom and of seeing how that works. Like our pastor used to say, if you get in somebody else's mailbox and read it, it doesn't make the same sense. I mean, the cognitive dissonance that is a result of that very fact of not knowing who those people are is critically important. There's no doubt about it. But you have to get some of those roadblocks out of the way before you can get there. And it's either done through hard study, through miraculous and divine intervention, and prayer and those things, but it still has to happen in order for you to come to that knowledge of the truth. You know, I mean,
yes. It can be summed up pretty easily. Bottom line is, if you can't reach them, those people, to see the truth and the critical importance of baptism for the remission of sins, if you can't reach them and they cannot see that truth, then you can almost bet your horse, your spurs, everything you got, that the bottom line is they're not going to see the Israel truth. If they cannot see the truth of baptism for the mission is
true, I agree.
If they cannot see the fact that they need to be obedient to what Jesus Christ, I mean, if Jesus Christ himself was baptized, hello, you know, we have a list of all the scriptures of baptism, and we'll send it out to you free. And if you can't, I mean, there's probably, I don't know, 40 scriptures there. And then there's the warnings, too, about don't do it if you're not seriously taking your walk seriously. But that's the bottom line. If you can't reach them with the truth of baptism for the remission of sins, then you're not going to reach them, most likely, with the truth of the Israel truth. But I want to get to this before we run out
of
time. Go ahead. Is that Jason? Hey, Jason.
And what's a better truth? I mean, one of the truths is going to save somebody from their sins and get them salvation, get them into the kingdom of God. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. Yep.
Yes.
I want to get to this before we run out of time. We've got about 10 minutes, but a little less than that. So it's more significant than people realize, I think, the fact that Hillary Clinton, during that Elijah Cummings funeral, spoke about, tried to tie President Trump. Hello? I don't know who we lost.
Yeah. You go there? Ahead. Yeah, we're still here.
Anyways, tried to tie President Trump and Melania as Ahab and Jezebel, and where she said, quote, like the prophet, our Elijah could call down fire from heaven. But he also prayed and worked for healing, she said. He weathered storms and earthquakes, but never lost his faith. Like the Old Testament prophet, he stood against corrupt leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And there's a book, many of you heard of the books that Jonathan Cain wrote, or Kahn wrote, it is Kahn, I believe, The Harbinger, and then there was a book called The Paradigm, where he basically, if you read that book or you listen to it on tape, I don't think there's any way that you can say that it's nothing but inspiration of God revealing the truth. That's all I'm going to say. But the bottom line is, after Hillary Clinton's remarks Friday, the author of that noted that Ahab was known for a psychological projection, the defense mechanism of projecting one's undesirable characteristics on someone else rather than dealing with them. Now, you tell me if that's not exactly what's going on right now in our government. They are, the demon rats are projecting the things that they are guilty of on President Trump and the Republicans.
Absolutely. But absolutely.
Like, a good example of it is, well, a good example of it is Ahab labeled Elijah the troubler of Israel, while Elijah replied, no, you are the troubler of Israel. So now Hillary Clinton, this is interesting too, accuses Donald Trump and his administration of being Ahab and Jezebel of America. Further, the Bible records Jezebel speaking concerning the death of Elijah. So, at the death of U.S. Representative Elijah Cummings, the American Jezebel speaks about Elijah, Ahab, and Jezebel. And then, you know, I brought it out in several messages, but all the comparisons, here's just a few of them. Basically, Jezebel was raised under the worship of the goddess Ashtoreth, a symbol of female power, while Hillary Clinton is a longtime advocate of radical feminism. Jezebel championed Baal worship, featuring the offering of children, while Hillary Clinton has been a major advocate of abortion. Jezebel married Ahab, the king of the religiosity, conservative nation of Israel. And Hillary Clinton married Bill Clinton, the governor of the Bible Belt state of Arkansas. Jezebel and Hillary Clinton both viewed religious conservative as their enemies. Jezebel, with her husband, established Israel's first co-regency, while Bill and Hillary openly admitted that they ruled the presidency together. Ahab reigned in government and on the public stage for 22 years, while Bill Clinton was in government for the same 22 years, 79 to 2001. The scandals of Ahab and Jezebel involved their appropriating of real estate and the death of a man connected to that land, Naboth. The scandals of Bill and Hillary Clinton were marked by their Whitewater real estate deal and the death of the man connected to that scandal, Vince Foster. So anyways, there's just, you know, on and on it goes. Bottom line was, most people don't understand that Jehu used to be in the army of Ahab, so he served Ahab. Well, what was Donald Trump? Donald Trump used to be a demon rat, used to support abortion, used to basically be a playboy, hang out with all of those. And but it just goes on and on. You know, when you read the story in 1 and 2 Kings, it said when Jehu was going to Jezreel that his driving of his chariot was as a wild man. Well, what is Trump considered today to most people? He's a wild man. He's not a politician. But these are just, you know, some of the significant things that there's no doubt there's nothing new under the sun, and God shows it to us over and over.
Amen. Exciting really times.
Awesome. Well, Lord willing, tomorrow's message, I think, is on one of the key points that the Lord showed to me this week during fasting and praying against the witches and also against Halloween. And that is probably the biggest single problem, if you summed it up, is that people don't fear God anymore. And there's probably a series of messages there regarding the things that have transpired over the years, and how our enemy's done a masterful job on bringing people to the point where they don't fear God anymore. But
you better go ahead and invite people to church, Richard.
Yes. Well, men, thanks for joining us. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us. And we do just as John said. We invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. The roads are open, so if you want to drive down to LaPorte, you're more than welcome to do that. We would appreciate a phone call to let us know you're coming in person. But you can join us at the website, scriptures4america.org, and click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 for you West Coasters. And join us. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that it will be like watching prophecy. It's the best way I can describe it. These messages that come out, they are. We see these things happening right before our eyes. Brother Jonathan, looking forward to your live message. And I think we got a hint or two of that today. So that's sure going to be interesting. And so we do invite you to come. We'll have communion. We'll have some music. It gives you, the remnant, an opportunity to not forsake the assembly, even if it is on the computer. Our pastor saw that years and years ago and put those things in place. We also record the service. We can send you a DVD if you'd like. The DVD Church goes out to hundreds and hundreds. We send that out on Monday. So we do encourage you to join us. Men, thanks again, and we'll see you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
Ha!
Ha! Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out,
ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.